reading through the Bible in a year, and that has the Old Testament passage and a New Testament passage each day. Then we're also doing the Through the Bible in a Year study for Sunday school. Those are two separate things, and it's a little confusing. I've tried to keep them clear, but the same title, it's hard to do that. But if you're reading through the Bible in a year, I believe today you were supposed to read up to Exodus 9. Is that correct? Does anybody have a... Is that what it is? Through Exodus 9 today. And then in the New Testament, Matthew 18 today. All right. I'm ahead in that one, so I don't know exactly where we're supposed to be on that one. But Matthew 18. And so you're finished with Genesis. You're into Exodus. You're still in the exciting, reads like a novel kind of material. As you go on in Exodus, it'll continue this week like that. And then there'll be a little bit of a lull as he's going to describe what the tabernacle is supposed to be like and how they're to build it. It's going to be a little bit repetitive at times after that, but hang in there. You'll get to Numbers, where there are some neat stories combined with other things. And so these are the basic things about Israel's getting started and getting going. And so these are important truths that affect your understanding of later Scripture. And so on Wednesdays, we've been trying to do some things that will help you understand your Bible better as a whole. Oh, I was going to ask. So how are you doing on the reading? How many people are on schedule or ahead? Okay. Not as many as there were. Okay. How many are within striking distance? You're pretty close. Okay. All right. Anybody getting out of Genesis 1 right now? Just way back there? Okay. All right. All right. Well, just sit down and read it. Or just pick it up. Pick it up at Exodus. It won't hurt you to do that. Anybody give up yet? Oh, good. At least you didn't admit it. Yeah, you'll have to admit that one later. You know, I tell people this every time we do it. If you get behind, if you can catch up, fine, but you might want to just jump in wherever we are. And if you want to pick it up at Exodus, and then you're only 9 chapters behind, you can do that. And that's good reading through the first 9 chapters. You've got some good plagues in there to read about. You know, the one that I read through all that this morning, I actually read from 1 to 9 this morning, and it's the one where he turns the dust into lice that just makes my skin crawl. And we were talking about that in teachers' meeting this morning, and Melissa's over there scratching her head, like, lice, that would be just an awful plague. And then the frogs. I said, you know, from West Virginia, if you have that many frogs, you just make frog legs. You know, that's okay. But then the piles of stinking frogs afterward, just a gruesome picture in your mind when you think of the heaps of frogs that are there and the stench that would go with that. So when we start studying the Bible, there are some things that help you as you understand overall what the Bible is about. And so I started into something kind of for my own purposes, but thinking I'm going to use a little bit of this. And it ended up taking me forever to study this, and it's going to take more than 1 week, and I'm not even sure that I have everything correct. So if you see something that you think, I don't understand that, I'm probably right there with you. But as long as you're not snoring too loudly at the end of tonight, we'll go back into this tomorrow. But it is building a time, or it's time according to the Bible. And there are some issues or questions that I think will help you in understanding the Scripture. You've been through Genesis, and now you're into Exodus. And from a macro perspective, that is standing back and looking at the whole thing, when you read through Genesis, you read through a lot of time. I mean, you went through, I'm not going to say a number, but you went through a lot of time from Genesis 1 through Genesis 50. When you read Exodus, that's going to slow way down. And then you're going to go to Leviticus, and it's going to slow way, way down. And then you're going to get to Numbers and Deuteronomy. And then you're going to get to parts speed up a little bit more. One of the things that helps us is when we have an idea in our mind of where things fit. Let me give you an example. If I were to say, all right, test question, which of these characters are closer together? Ronald Reagan, Johnny Appleseed and George Washington. Which two would be closest together? Johnny Appleseed and George Washington. How do you know that? It's history. And it's stuff you've studied. And you look at that and say, well, of course they are. Because, you know, I know that, I don't know the year that Johnny Appleseed was here, but I know he wasn't at the same time as Ronald Reagan. He wasn't even close. It was back during the colonial days. And so I have that in mind. Now, we have some people who are from other countries here tonight. I don't know if they knew that, because they haven't studied American history. I could give you more questions like that. And you would pick up names if you're a Native American, and you would say, well, of course I know that Patrick Henry, did not fly an airplane. You know, it just in your mind, no, of course he didn't. Well, sometimes when we look at biblical history, there are some things that we don't know like that that hinder us in our understanding. And so if you have an understanding of when things happen in the Bible and the order in which they happen, a lot of times that really helps in your understanding of Scripture as you're going through there. And so I want to help you understand the Bible, and you'll see that the title here is Time According to the Bible, and you'll understand that the further we get into it, Time According to the Bible, with help from Archbishop James Usher. Now, just out of curiosity, does anyone know who Usher is? There are a couple of you who probably do and don't know you do. All right, Carol, you do? A little bit, all right. Ron, you probably do. Okay, you'll pick this up, and Charles probably does too. But it's one of those names you probably would not run across, or if you run across it, it would be like, don't know him, and it wouldn't really stick with you. We will get into him maybe a little bit tonight, but next week I'm going to tell you more about who he is and what he did. And it's really fascinating what he did, and it's something that lingers today and is helpful to us today. So here's Time According to the Bible, and then we'll get some help from Archbishop James Usher as we go along in the study. When we look at this, we want to ask and answer some questions. What is a timetable of biblical events? All right, so who wants the next question tonight? Who wants to answer the question? Who wants to be the guinea pig this evening? All right, Chipper? Yeah, but your dad was going. All right, I don't want Chipper. He's too smart. Yeah. let's see. Who could we pick? Johnny. How are you? I have this nice, cool Apple Watch here that I don't really know how to work, so it's not going to help me a whole lot. Yeah. All right, Johnny, in 30 seconds, all right, 30 seconds, tell me the story of the Old Testament. Now, they got to hear it back there, too. So you might want to stand up. This is even worse, isn't it? Yeah. You're not standing. All right, 30 seconds. Go.
We have creation, and then we have basically God coming to Abraham and he's going to build a nation out of Abraham and Israel. And so the whole world has been established.
All right. Okay, on the bright side, you didn't say anything wrong. Okay, so that was good. Okay, all right, so good start there. Did you hear it back there?
No, I think we should.
Ever do it again? A stander in the middle of the aisle, okay. All right, Mark, 30 seconds. History of the Old Testament. Well, you're not standing yet. Oh, yeah.
what Sean said, plus there was the flood and man was separated by languages and that sort of thing. And there was lots of promises of the world being blessed through Abraham and that they would be, that his offspring would be as numerous as the sands of the sea.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. We're doing well in the early part, okay? All right, one more. Let's see. Ron. Yeah. If you're a visitor, I'm not going to pick on you tonight. So, Ron.
Okay, after promises, we have 400 years. Joseph died 400 years. Moses comes, you've got the law coming into effect. Then we go through the years of the law, and soon David becomes king. We install the first king, and David becomes king after they reject God. Followed by several reigns, good and bad. After Solomon, the kingdom splits. The Israelites northern go into captivity first. The southern kingdom goes into captivity next. And then somehow they get all back together and it gets into the end of the Old Testament and wait for Jesus.
There you go. Very good. All right. That was a good summary of the Old Testament. Now, you have to have, kind of like I was mentioning with American history, you took that in school. When you're reading the Bible, you have to have kind of a broad overview of what happened. What's the order of events? If I were to take you to the index in your Bible, you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and it goes all the way through Kings, Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. When you get to Esther, that's the end of Old Testament history. And then you go to the poetic books. And those have to fit into the history somewhere. But in order to really grasp the Scripture, you've got to have kind of an overview of when things happened. Revolutionary War. When did it happen? What was it? All right, late 1700s. That's exactly the answer I wanted. Whether you know the exact date or not, you could probably tell me, well, I know 1776 was the founding of our country, so it had to be somewhere right around that time. So if I said to you, well, in 1956, during the Revolutionary War, how many of you would go, hey, hold on a second? Yet sometimes that happens to us when we are thinking through biblical events, because we need this understanding of, oh, the flood. That happened way before the Exodus. The Exodus, that happened way before there were any kings in Israel. The judges, they're before the kings. And if you have these broad events in your mind, it really helps you as you read through the entire Bible to understand where things fit. Now, even for me, there are times that I have to go back and think, okay, where does Zechariah fit into the timeline? I got to figure that out. Where does Malachi fit in? That one's a little easier, but you have to think through. So what's a timetable of biblical events? And then the question, I kind of answered this, is why does it matter? Well, when you're studying some of the later Old Testament books, you need to know where does this fit into the history? How is it incorporated into the timeline of Old Testament Israelite events? And when you understand that, then you will understand the Bible better. Now, here's the real question that we're getting to in the study here. How do we figure that out? How do we get a timetable of biblical events? How do we build that? Well, in order to do that, we'd have to take the Bible and really do some pretty in-depth study and pulling out some dates, pulling out some times that are going to help us. Let me ask you one more question, and I think you'll get this when you think through it. What is the most significant or critical event that we have to date? You could put a couple in there, but I think we could settle on one. Jesse? I'm going to say no. That's one of the most critical events in the Bible, but as far as dating it, everybody would pretty well agree on the date of that. Yeah, that's not really a huge thing. Okay, but it's a good answer. All right? All right, what event do we have to date that's really critical to us? I'm going to get Ron. Okay, death of Jesus. But again, I'm going to say that one is, that's within a few years. We kind of know when that is. Okay, we've got an idea within a few years of what that will be. Amber?
Creation.
Ah, why do you say that?
Because some people believe in a older period instead of a younger.
Yeah. So what if people believe in the old earth theory? Does it matter? Why? What was that? Because they're wrong? Okay. I think, Todd, what did you say? Right at the very beginning of the Bible, we have an event that God says, here's how it happened. And it either happened that way or it didn't. And this is important. And so we've got to settle that. And so there's a critical event there that we really need in our timetable to figure out, to come to a conclusion on. All right, any other comments on that? Any other things you think about on that? I'm going to say that's the most critical event. If somebody would have said the flood, I would say that's really important. Even the Exodus, that's really important. But I'm going to say probably the most critical event is to say, when did the creation happen? What was the date of that? And so this is something that we're going to look at. Let me give you the two objectives that I have over the course of studying this. And this will either be 2 or 3 weeks, depending on whether I'm boring you to death or not with it. But I want to do two things. Number one, I want you to finish this with a broad overview in your mind of a biblical timeline. Now, understand what I say when I say that. I'm not wanting to pass you in the hall and say, okay, Melissa, what was the date of King Ahab's reign? I don't know that off the top of my head. I'm talking about a broad overview of biblical events like we were talking about in American history. That you could tell me, was the Civil War first or the Revolutionary War? Very good. Okay. I was getting worried. So in the Bible, I want you to have in your mind an idea who was first, Solomon or Saul? Saul, yeah. What's that? Well, that's true. It depends on which Saul. Yeah, that's a good answer. That's true. Yeah. But having this in your mind is helpful as you read the Bible, a broad overview of a biblical timeline, just so that you could say, okay, I know that we've got creation, and then we've got the flood, and then we have the Tower of Babel, and then we have Abraham, and then we have Moses, and we have the Exodus and the wilderness wandering. And you can go on down. And, of course, that's what I do is study it. But I want you to have just a broad overview of what the Bible is teaching you so that you can say this is what it is. Here's the second thing that I think is critically important. Does the Bible teach and can we defend a young earth creation position? What we would call young earth creationism. That we would say that the earth is not as old as our science community, and maybe I should say secular science community, says it is. What does the Bible say? And if it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, then we would have to acknowledge that. In order to do that, we have to build a timeline. And this is where, when I began to study this, and I was studying actually about Usher, and I'll tell you who he is in a minute, but I was studying about Usher, and you can either go from front to back on this or from back to front. In other words, I could start here in 2017, and I could work my way back. And pretty safely, pretty easily, we can get to year zero, and what is the breaking point in our time, in our timetable, our calendar now? What? Yeah, it's the birth of Jesus. Now, if you really study that, probably it's off just a little bit. But we know within probably 4 years, 4 or 5 years, exactly when the birth of Jesus was. And regardless of what happens now, everything in history is centered around his birth. And so we know that. And so we've got that, so we could get back to that. Then we could start working backwards again and say, okay, what was the next thing behind the birth of Jesus? And that would be the return of the exile and the rebuilding of the temple. And then we could work back from there. How many years was that? When did they go into exile? What was the reign of David? What was the reign of Saul? What were the reigns of the judges? And we keep working back till we get to the flood and get to creation. And that would work. I want to start the other way. And the reason that I want to do this is because we need to establish something here at the very front of the study. And that is, how are we going to interpret the Bible? So let's look at Genesis 5. And Genesis 5, probably when you read through, you didn't spend a lot of time here. Beginning in verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years, and begat Canaan. And Enos lived, after he begat Canaan, 815 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years, and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived, after he begat Mahalalel, 840 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Now, let me stop there. The whole chapter goes on. And he talks about Mahalalel and Jared and Enoch. And Enoch walked with God. And then he talks about Methuselah in verse 26. And then you get to verse 28. He talks about Lamech. And he begat a son whose name was Noah. And the focus is going to go to Noah. Now, just as a side note, who taught this past week in the adult Sunday school? Was it Todd? Did you go over the divisions, this book of the generation, when you were teaching through there? Do you remember that? Okay. In Genesis, you have its official name is called a Toledoth, and the breakup or the divisions of Genesis are really easy to see. Notice in the very beginning of chapter 5, this book of the generations of Adam. When you see that phrase in Genesis, he's starting again. And he actually does something neat in Genesis. He starts, he backs up, and he says, okay, here's how we got here. Now let's move on with this character. In this one, he's going to give us the history, take us to Noah, and then say, okay, we're going to study Noah. And then he's going to back up, and he's going to say, okay, here's how we got to Noah, and he's going to follow the lineage, then he's going to move down, and eventually he'll get to Abraham. And those are the Toledoths. The book is broken up with those kind of divisions. They're easy to find in Genesis. Now, let me ask you this. How do you interpret this passage literally? Now, that, I tried to think, how do I phrase this question? I'm talking about time. How do we interpret it if we're interpreting it literally? It's a broad question, but kind of intentionally. Todd?
A year is some division circling around 365 days.
Okay. Yes. A year is a year. So when it says that Adam lived 930 years and he died, how many years did Adam actually live? Okay, 930 years. How many of you plan to live to 930 years? When we study the Bible, we take the Bible as literally, and I like to use the term normally, actually, there, normal grammatical historical interpretation. That is, it means what it normally means. Sometimes when we say literally, people get a little confused because when Jesus uses parables, they say, well, you're not taking that literally. No, it's normal. How would you normally take this? And what we would normally take this as is that number of years. So that's the number of years that he's talking about there. Now, when we look at that, there's a second thing that we have to consider here, and that is are there gaps in this genealogy? This is a hint to the next question. What if you need to accommodate more time? Why would you need to accommodate more time? To add what?
That is a lie.
Which lie? Okay. All right. If you're somebody who is really still struggling with this battle between creation and evolution, then you say, you know, I am a believer. I've been taught the Bible is correct, and I've been taught that it's accurate, and that God wrote it, and that it's something that I should not only pay attention, but I have an allegiance to. But man, those scientists come out and they carbon date a rock and it's 20 million years old. And I'm having trouble reconciling that with this. So what am I going to do with that? How am I going to make this time longer? Because the problem is that when you get past this and you get to the flood, we have some pretty clear time indicators, some time markers in there, and you can't add a lot of time after this. So if we're going to add any time to the history of man, it has to be from chapter 10 back. And here's one place that you would do it. So if you were going to do this, how would you most easily add some time into this passage? I've given you a hint on it. What would you say? Chipper? Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. They will do that, not necessarily with this passage, because if you do that, what happens? You've got Noah. Who's that guy?
Adam.
That's a guy. You've got Adam living for, you know, then 10,000 years. So that didn't work so well. Although, you know, days, when they did the day-age creation, that the word day actually means age. And so when God said he created on the first day, that actually means, you know, a million years. And, you know, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So a day is at least 1,000 years, right? That's what he means. And we'll dispel that. But you know, here's a possibility. Well, that one doesn't work real well. So what else might you say? Can you think of any other argument, Joe? Okay, and that's one. You add time before Adam, and that is the gap theory. And the gap theory is that between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, that God actually created the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That the earth had been created way back here. And the idea is that it was there, and most of those people would say Satan fell, God condemned the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and it sat there for millions, and now we have to say billions of years. And then finally God said that he decided he was going to redo the earth. And so that's one way that you add years to that. Very problematic. And just the simple answer to that is that means that death existed on earth before Adam and Eve, and Scripture says it didn't. And there are passages that contradict that all the way through the Bible. And so you have some significant problems with that gap theory that come out. But that was a big way that people tried at first to accommodate evolution. Then you have the day-age theory that says a day is longer than a day. But we come to this passage, and there's still another way that's possible to do this. Anybody else want to take a shot at it?
Some generations are left out.
There you go. Some generations are left out. That you look at this and say, well, when he said that, you know, these generations followed each other, they were just kind of like Matthew. We know Matthew actually does this. The problem is, the difference is that Matthew tells us he does that. But he said, just like Matthew did it, he didn't list all of the generations. And so between a lot of these guys, there were multiple generations of people. And the problem is that even if you do that, at best, you can add 100,000 years. You still don't help yourself, actually, when you do that. And so you have this these generations that are left out. So that's something that we have to say, all right, is that legitimate? Well, when we look at this passage, here's what we know. We have in Scripture verification of father-son relationships, not father multiple generations and another guy. We know that Adam was the father of Seth. We know that Seth was the father of Enosh. Lamech is the father of Noah. Noah is the father of Shem. Eber is the father of Peleg, and Terah is the father of Abraham, when you take chapters 5 and 11. We have some that we are absolutely confident that these are actual father-son relationships. And so there's no reason to indicate, nothing in this passage that indicates when it says X begat Y, that it means something other than a literal father-son relationship. If anything, we have the opposite. In these passages, he's saying, this is the exact relationship. Here's the father. He got to this age. He had this son. There is no generation gap in there. There's no skipping of generations in there. There's also nowhere in the Old Testament where the Hebrew word that's used here, and it's, you don't need to know the word, but it's the word for begat, is used in anything other than single generations. It's a father-son or mother-daughter relationship. There's another word that you can use that actually does sometimes indicate that. The Hebrew word ben can mean son or grandson, but it never skips whole generations. And there are several times in the Bible where that word is used, and it would say something like Jesse's son, and it actually is his grandson. And that word is used for that. It can mean in that immediate family, but it's not skipping entire generations. It is a close relationship. It can even mean his son in the sense that it's his nephew in that same generation. And so that's a different word, but that's not the word that's used here. And so what we end up with is when we study this and we're looking at creation, and we start at chapter 1, there's the creation. Chapter 2, he backs up and says, okay, let me give you some more details about that. Chapter 3, you have the fall of Adam and Eve and the curse. Then you come to chapter 4, and you've got Cain and Abel and the problems that are there. And then you come to chapter 5, and immediately we have what we just read. And then he gives us the lineage of that group of people. If you were to follow that lineage, you come out with 1,656 years. Now, it's more complicated than we want to do sitting here tonight. You sit down with your calculator and read it, map it out on a piece of paper, and you'll come out with something right around there. And you'll notice that there's something new there. This was something I actually had to study and learn myself. And you find this when you're studying what they call it's time relationships, but it is the term AM. So you know what AD is. It's Anno Domini, and it means in Latin, in the year of our Lord. When you see AM, it actually means Anno Mundi, the year of the world. In other words, it's dated from the beginning of the world forward. And so if we're looking at this and we're saying, okay, we have from the creation to the flood. When we finish reading Genesis 5, we have Noah. And Noah's going to be 600 years old when the flood comes, tells us that. We have 1,656 years. And so there's an important start for us in building a timeline. If this is literal, if we're taking the Bible literally, we have a really important component in building our timeline in our minds that when you read through Scripture and you read through the first six chapters of the Bible, how many years passed? 1,656. Now, that could be off by, I believe that one is 12 years. Anybody want to take a guess why? I didn't know this, but it does make sense. Jesse? Well, it's not leap years on this one, but that's a good guess. It's actually because of this, and I hadn't thought about it. It will say, for example, that John got to be 330 years, and he had a son, Jesse. We don't know if that's 330 years and 1 month or 330 years and 10 months. So when you take that many generations, you can have a span of, and I think in this one it was up to 12 years. It may have been 20, but I mean, when you're talking about 1,600 years, what's 20 years? So it could be off just a little bit, but you'll come out with about 1,650 years. Now, that's significant for us because when we're studying a timetable of the Bible, we're going from creation, Genesis chapter 1, to the flood, and we've just gone through 1,650 years of history. And it's fascinating history. And wouldn't you like to know more about that? You know, what did Adam look like at 900 years old? I guess. How do you look at 500? He was still playing basketball. hitting his stride. Yeah, he's 30, you know, for us. It's just fascinating to think about. But the important thing is that if we take the Bible literally, we have 1,650 years that have passed. And that begins our timeline. And so then what we have to do is ask, okay, if we're going to go forward then from creation to the flood, then how far is it from the flood to the patriarchs? Who are the patriarchs? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Yeah. And there were more patriarchs during that time, but those are the ones we normally think of as the patriarchs. Patriarch means the fatherly figure. So then the next question is, okay, if we take the Bible then, and we look at the Scripture and we take it literally, once we get to the flood, we know that that was 1,650 years, and we go from the flood to the patriarchs, to Abraham, how long does that take? How many years is that? Now, in order to do that, we're going to go to Genesis 11. But you guys have talked way too long, and we're not going to do that this week. So, we're going to have to pick it up right there. But what we want to do is we want to put divisions on this screen up here and say, okay, how far was it from the flood then to the patriarchs? So, here's Abraham. Then what do you figure the next section is going to be? Abraham to, Egypt. Yeah, Kings is a little far. Abraham, we're going to call it the Exodus. How long was it from Abraham? You could put till they went into Egypt, or we're going to go till they come out of Egypt. You could do it any way you want to, but we're going to put that in and say, okay, does the Bible ever tell us how long that period of time is? And then we're going to put the Exodus down and say, okay, when they came out of Egypt, what's another good break for us? You've got entering Canaan, okay. We're going to go a little further than that. First King. How long was it when they came out of Egypt, wandered in the wilderness until they got to King Saul, the first king of Israel? How long did that take? And then we're building a timeline. So we're saying, okay, I get in my mind that here's how much time passed when I read from Genesis 1 to Genesis 6, and then I read from Genesis 6 to Genesis 12, actually the end of chapter 11. How much more time passed? And then I'm going to read from Genesis 12 through Genesis 50. How much time did that take? And just like you know American history, that helps you when you're reading the Bible. And you'll find that it's radically different from place to place when you really begin to study it. Okay? So, we're going to put that on the screen. We'll have to do that next week. As long as it doesn't snow. Looking like it, so yeah, never know. All right, so let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll pass out a prayer sheet tonight. Lord, we thank you again that we have the Scripture and that we can study it. And I pray you'll help us to be careful. Lord, we know that your Holy Spirit was given so that we can have illumination from Him and that we can have clarity as we study the Scripture. And I pray this evening that you'll help us to read with that clarity. Lord, I pray this evening if there's one that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that this would build a foundation for them to have absolute trust in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, any questions, comments on that tonight? Chipper?